We're going to look at a long conversation that's recorded with Jesus, not with the most terrifying character, but a very interesting character in the book of John. But before we look at the passage, I want you to think about an analogy, because our lives can be compared to a house that's being built. Really, we're building our own house, but other people can help us out, and obviously God is at work to build our house also. And so as we go through the day, we meet a lot of other people, and each one is a house under construction. So I have this picture here of a street with a lot of houses under construction. And with this analogy, that's one way you can picture our life. All of you are houses, so as I walk down here, it's just kind of like construction sites all along here on each side. And then with that analogy in mind, when we have conversations, it's like opening up the door to what's going on in that life. And if I've had conversations with you before, I have some idea, at least, of what's going on in your life. And a lot of times it's private behind closed doors. Each person is responsible for their own space, for their own house. They might have conversation with you, and they might not want to talk to you at all. And so it's an adventure in having conversations with people. And in John 4, there's a long conversation that Jesus had with a stranger. Of course, Jesus being God knew what was in her life already. But from a human perspective, this is a total stranger that just walks up. It's interesting that in John 3 is another fairly long conversation that we have recorded that Jesus had. And in John 3, a person came to him wanting with questions. But in John 4, Jesus starts a conversation with a total stranger. And that conversation went a long ways. In fact, so far that he told her, "I am the Messiah." He outright told her, "I am the Messiah." That was really unusual for Jesus. There's very few people that he outright told, "I am the Messiah." So from meeting a total stranger to "I am the Messiah," we have a record of most of what he said during that time. So that's what we're going to look at, the model. It's not a model for all conversations, but God's given it in a lot of detail for us to learn from. So we're going to look at lessons we can learn from his conversation with this woman and principles that stand out from that conversation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life with you. Thank you for coming to live here as a human being like us and facing the challenges, all kind of challenges, all kind of relationships, conversations. So thanks for this conversation, and we ask for your help again. Help us learn, help us understand what's going on, and how do you want to apply something, at least from this passage, that can help us on the adventure of having relationships with other people and with you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, to read this passage, I have asked Kat and Tim to come up and help. They are going to come on up. You guys can come on up. They'll stand by this microphone over here. Kat is going to read the part of the woman, and Tim will read the part of Jesus, and I'll be the narrator. So we're going to read verses 1 through 42 from the ESV here in John. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It's about the sixth hour, which is noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria?"
For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
The woman said to him,
Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.
And Jesus said to her,
Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
The woman said to him,
Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.
Jesus said to her,
Go call your husband. Come here.
The woman answered him,
I have no husband.
And Jesus said to her,
You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true.
The woman said to him,
Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.
Jesus said to her,
Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
The woman said to him,
I know that Messiah is coming.
He who is called Christ.
When he comes, he will tell us all things.
Jesus said to her,
I, who speak to you, am he.
Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people,
Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?
They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them,
I have food to eat that you do not know about.
So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them,
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Thanks, Kat and Tim. Wow, one thing I forgot to share with analogy is that conversations not only open up the door, but are tools for using to build in people's lives. You might build, might have not have the chance, but our words, what we communicate with people, are tools for building in people's houses. So let's look at this chapter. Starting there where Jesus started talking to her in verse 7, he says, Woman, can I have a drink? And that's in itself, of course, it's cross-cultural. We'll be looking at that in a minute. But that's humility. Humility for Jesus to be asking, saying, I need your help. Here's the creator of the world, when you think about it, saying, can you give me a drink? I'm thirsty. And it makes it John makes a point to saying that he was tired and worried like we get a lot of times. And then another aspect about that, or just first of all, the way he opened up, just said something to the woman by opening up, in this statement, in this situation, a request, he opens up the door for interaction. She could have just ignored him, walked away. You know, I don't talk to men, and just not said anything to him. And that'd be the end. But she responded. And then he responded, and a lot happened from that. So a huge lesson that I get from that is conversations are an important way, just opening up the door into someone's life. Could be a total stranger, could be someone you know, just saying anything. Before, I used to spend a lot of time thinking, so I'm an introvert, and how to talk to people has been a huge thing I've struggled with ever since I was a kid. And even asking God in high school, help me be friends with people, is so hard. And so just saying anything about the weather, that's one of the easiest. But that opens up the door and then interact. And then when we are aware of who God is, see where the conversation goes. So for my own life, in this area of conversations, a routine part of my life is going for a jog, a mile out, mile back, four times a week as part of my exercise routine that I have. I've decided to go along the same route every day that I go jogging four times a week. So for 15 years, I've been jogging up and down the same route. And you see these same people, and people have moved in and out. And I've gotten to know some of them because I've decided early on, okay, God, these are people, people that you love. I don't know if I can spend time with them. I don't know them. But if you can open up a conversation, I'll do my best to have a conversation. And so there's one guy named Dennis that I had a friendship with for about 2 years. He sat on his porch at different times to take a break from taking care of his older dad. He'd see me running by. We started out just wave at each other. Then we did so much waving back and forth. Hey, I might as well stop and go and talk to him. And so we slowly developed a conversation. He wasn't open to God at all from what he said, but we had interesting conversations. Then he moved away. I don't know how God will work. There's a lot of stories I could tell you about different conversations I've had. And I remember one guy, there was a car parked on the side of the street, not in a normal parking space, and I saw a person walking down the street from the car. I just went jogging by. Then after I passed him up a little bit, I think, that was a person walking away from his car. Chances are he needs help. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to mess with him. Just kept on jogging. It's like, Holy Spirit, the thoughts are in my mind. Mike, I thought you were open for conversations with people. Oh, no, but I don't want to. But finally, I struggled with it for a while. Then, I don't know, it was 100 yards down the streets. Oh, okay. Turned around, came back, and jogged back to where the guy was walking. Said, hey, do you have car trouble or something? Yeah, I ran out of gas, I think. And so I told him, hey, I live a block and a half away. I can give you a ride down to the gas station, about half a mile or so. I said, okay. So I ran back home, got my car, came up, and we ended up talking. He is a young guy. My kids say he was a punk-style dresser there. The kind of guy that I would normally never have a conversation with. How could I get in a conversation with a young punker that hangs out in crowds totally different than me? But here I am. We're sitting in a car, just he and me, having a friendly conversation. And I said something like, do you ever think about spiritual reality? And he first says, what? I said, you know, the unseen world, the spiritual world. Oh, yeah. And then he went off into some stuff about that. We had a great conversation. I had a chance to share how God, the unseen creator, has had a major effect on my life. We said goodbye. I've asked God, you know, I pray for him at different times when I think of him. I've never seen him again. I don't know how God will work, but that's part of the adventure. Just conversation. So many things can happen when we have conversations with people. We don't have to figure it out because God's in control. That's what makes it fun in one sense, although it can be painful in different ways. So back to the story here with Jesus. That's a major lesson. Conversations are door openers for friendship, possible friendship with people. You never know how it'll go. Maybe zilch. Maybe in this situation, a lot happened. The whole town is influenced just because Jesus opened up a conversation. Can you give me a drink? That changed the whole town. because God is involved with that one opening of a conversation. Can you give me a drink? Verse 9, he did go against the culture in two ways, talking to Samaritan, and then down in verse 27, says it again, he's talking to a woman. Double contradiction or countercultural. That does not mean that our goal should be always to go countercultural, but we should be open to it. How do we know when not to? I don't know. There's no formula except to say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Because he's the one that's above culture, above everything. And so walking with him is the bottom line for all of our lives. But in relationships with people in a conversation, what do you want me to say? And when I get in that car to take him to the gas station, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this conversation? Help me know what to say. And my mind is not good at remembering, but I've over the years, okay, Holy Spirit, you remind me to pray. I'll ask for your help when I get in conversations. And you can do that just real quick in your mind. You know how to do that. And God will give you ideas of what to say in conversations. And whether or not you should even go against the culture. Another thing that stands out here to me is Jesus' self-image. Verse 10. The woman is saying, why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Samaritan. He could have said, I'm so thirsty. Couldn't you have mercy? Just please give me a drink, even though I'm a Jew. That'd be a natural human response, but no. He had such a clear perspective of who he was that he turns it around and said, if you knew who I was asking you, your question would even be different. His self-image, his self-identity was so clear that it affected how he had conversations with people. It reminds me of this one example of this person that had a clear self-image that he was a lock doctor. And he and his wife were driving up in the Rocky Mountains, way up high, above tree line, they driving along and they saw this car, and there's a family standing beside their car. And so they could have just driven by and not said anything. That'd be totally normal. But they stopped, and I don't know if they rolled down the window or however they talked to him, said, hi, do you see something out here? Because there wasn't many other people around, no one else at that point. And they said, yeah, we were looking at some of these things over here, but we ended up locking ourselves out of the car. And he said, oh, really? You might not believe this, but I'm a lock doctor, and I have tools for opening up people's cars right here in my car. You mind if I help you out? And they did help him out. They found out later that that was a family. The dad had just picked up a rock ready to smash the window to get the keys out because there's no way else to get in the car. But one of the little kids says, Dad, before you break the window, don't you think we should ask for God's help? And the dad says, how can God help us up here with this car? And I says, okay, we'll pray. And so they're while they're praying, they heard this motor. They finished praying, looked up, and this car coming. The dad said, okay, I won't break the window until this car goes by. And so one little conversation, and you never know how God works. But the identity, the reason I share that example is that lock doctor had a clear identity. I know how to unlock cars. I'm a lock doctor. And he could have debated, I don't want to offend these people to, you know, push my way into saying I'm a lock doctor and can unlock their car. But no, he just knew, I can't help them. If they're willing, I can help them. And so he had a clear identity and he communicated. So I think Jesus, I am God. I can help this lady beyond just getting a drink, even for her getting a drink for me. And so Jesus had that understanding. So here's basic things I know about myself in every situation. I'm not the same as Jesus, but I'm a brother of Jesus. So I've made a list up here. I'm a brother of Jesus, a child of God. I have the creator of the universe living inside me. I forget that, but that's true. Because of my righteous standing before God, he is ready to do special things through me at any time. I'm much more amazing than a lock doctor. I have the creator of the universe living in me. And I'm the brother of Jesus. There's unlimited potential for God using me. And he uses me not on a merit basis, like Johnny said last week. I can feel that way. Oh, God couldn't use me because I'm all messed up here. I haven't learned this, and I have this problem, and I just blew it an hour ago away. I was mad at my wife. He can't use me. That's a lie from the devil. It's not a merit basis for me to be used by God. Say, God, use me. It doesn't matter what my past is. I say, yeah, okay, and move ahead. That's who I am. That's how he wants to work through me. And then another thing that Jesus had an understanding of was that he had a clear understanding of the woman he saw coming to the well. Of course, oh yeah, he's God. Yeah, he knew everything about her, which is true. He knew God had a strong love for her. He knew God had already been preparing her before Jesus met her. He knew that God was in control of every situation and that his father had a reason for Jesus meeting her at that time. It was not an accidental meeting from God's perspective. Well, look at that same list. And I got another slide up here. You and I have this same understanding of every person we meet. God has a strong love for every person you meet. He has already been doing something to help every person you meet. Different than Jesus, we don't know what it is, but that's what makes an adventure walking with God. He's put him in their life, and we can say something and say, okay, God, what else should I say? And we depend on him and walk through. But there's so much similarity to us and Jesus, and I know that there's no such thing as accidents with God. The fact that I got my schedule was changed and I ran into this person in the grocery store or something, that's not an accident. I say, oh, hi, excuse me. Oh, wow, you know, whatever's happening with the child's baby or something, you might have been in a conversation. That's not an accidental conversation. From God's perspective, we call it an accident. But God has a reason, and you never know how the smallest thing can be used by God in unlimited ways. Well, I stand up here and tell nice stories, but it is a major struggle in my life to think this way. I need God's Spirit's help every day to think this way in this identity, especially when we're around people that don't recognize the spiritual reality and who God is. It's much easier for me to have the identity of being a Chiefs fan. And so from talking about the weather or any subject, it is so easy, especially in Kansas City these days, to transition into talking about the Chiefs. I don't have to think, well, wow, I really appreciate the Chiefs, but, you know, talking about the weather, how can I get talking about the Chiefs from the weather? That's a long shot. I guess it's cold. You know, I can try to figure out all these transitions of how to change from one subject to another subject about the Chiefs. And you guys can laugh because it's so easy to do it because our identity is so clear. I live in Kansas City. I'm expected to be a Chiefs fan. And they live in Kansas City and the Chiefs are doing well. It's easy. But really the principles are the same, or at least very similar. But it's so hard because most of the people aren't in favor of who I am as a child of God. Don't have that same perspective. And so, yeah, it is worthwhile to think, how can I make a transition? But that's part of it. Okay, God, what else can I say? We've talked about the weather. We've talked about this car he's working on. We've talked about his marriage. We still haven't talked about spiritual things. Lord, what can I do? And that's very worthy prayer. I pray that way so often when I do remember. Sometimes I don't remember, but that's why the Holy Spirit does a good job of reminding me to talk to him. I don't know how to make a transition. How do I get into spiritual things from talking about whatever subject? But your identity is a basic factor there. And it's so clear with Jesus. He handled it beautifully because he knew who that woman was, God's perspective of that woman. He knew who he was. And that's the foundation that God will help us have in conversations with people. But another reason that our identity is so important is in tough situations where people can blast us and put us down in all kinds of conversations. Imagine if someone tried to put Jesus down. You crazy guy. And they did. Who do you think you are? You're possessed by a demon to do this. Oh no, my identity, they don't like me. Jesus, I'm God. He handled it beautifully because of his self-identity. And when we have that identity clear, we can handle that negative input. People might not like our transition that we had to get into spiritual things. But our identity, we just keep praying, oh Lord, okay, he's really upset with me, Lord, what do I do now? And go from there. Okay, verse 17. He's carrying on this conversation with the woman. And he brings up about going and finding your husband. And he finds out, of course, Jesus knew her heart all along. For us, I'm finding out where her heart is at. It's easy for us to focus on actions. Are they doing bad things? Oh, we need to straighten them out there. That's not the way Jesus is thinking. Jesus was looking for the heart. Where's her heart at? And he could see that she was thirsty. And it doesn't explain it here, but you have five husbands going back for more, living with another man. She was thirsty for love. Hungry, thirsty for love. And he was helping her see her own heart. And she quickly changed the subject. And Jesus could have said, no, don't change the subject. You need to deal with your problem. Will you admit this is sin, what you're doing, living with this man in an adulterous situation? You're living in sin. Will you repent of your sin? But instead, he went along with that change of subject of worship, totally different subject. And what do you do when you change the subject? He went to her heart. He says he could see that she had been thinking about worshiping God. And when he talks about that worship, he even points out the fathers, that God is looking, God's heart is looking for worshipers. His heart is for you, for people, and I can see that your heart, you want to find how you can communicate to God there. And then she brings up another subject, another thing about the Messiah there. Okay, one more lesson before we summarize with the principles here. That Jesus said that the fields are ripe. And if you think about that analogy of conversations, there's a wide open field for conversations every day when we're living out in the store, street, wherever. And sometimes, a lot of times it's hard, but we can ask God, what can I say to whoever? There are people that are loved by God and that need God, and you know, on down the list there, the harvest is ripe for people. For us to have conversations with. So let's quickly summarize principles that we see in this passage. Well, self-identity is a huge one. We've already talked about that. And because it's so important, my time with the Lord at the beginning of the day makes such a big difference. I know some of you could be night people. I'm more of a morning person, so that's a good time for me to get some time in the Word. But however you can do it, to get it cleared, to get refreshed. For me, I talk to the Lord about some of the same things each morning. Lord, I'm so thankful that you, Jesus, love me in the same way that the Father loves you. And Father, you love me in the same way that you love Jesus. That's hard for me to believe, but thank you. Help me believe that. Help me remember that. And then a little bit later, say, thanks for this day. I know you're the one who's given me what I have. You've taught me, you've trained me, you've blessed me with relationships and resources so abundantly. And I know you have big purposes in mind. Help me walk with you. Those are basic things that I say to him almost every day. It's like putting on my clothes because I need his help. My mind doesn't naturally think that way. But it's talking with him, then getting his word, talking to him, Psalms. And another place in the Bible, reading that, talking about that, it helps me. Okay, this is who I am. This is who I am. No one else is going to tell to me during the day. Most people tell me a whole lot of other reasons. But no, I'm going to listen to my Creator, my Savior. This is who I am. Okay, help me remember that. I'm going to walk out the door. Maybe I'm ready. Hope by the Holy Spirit's help, ready for those conversations that He will give opportunity for. And then seeing, it's important to see people the way God sees them. One analogy in the Daylights, not Daylights, but the Faith Walker's book, was one that stuck out to me before, using this piece of paper here with an image on it. Whose image is on this one? It's a piece of paper printed by the federal government, authorized by the federal government. Whose face is on the 20? Andrew Jackson, it says there. Okay, how many of you could make use of this piece of paper with Andrew Jackson's image on it and a 20? Okay. Here's a piece of garbage. How many of you could make use of this piece of garbage out there? Wow. How many of you could make use of this piece of garbage? Wow. This looks worse than some of the stuff you'll find in the trash bins back there. And you raise your hands because you know the image has not left this piece of paper. The image is stamped on here. It doesn't matter how beaten up, trashed, messed up it is. It's the same image. Every person you and I meet, whose image are they created in? Image of Christ, the Creator. Doesn't matter how trashed up, stomped on, beaten up they are. Image has not left. And the Creator knows that. That's why He came. I can use that piece of paper there. It has my image on it. That is very valuable paper. So valuable, I'm going to give my life for that piece of paper. Every person we meet, that's the way God thinks of him. That's the way Jesus thought of him. By his help, we can think of him that way too. Loving, another principle here, loving people is a heart issue and not a method. So easy for us to make it a method. And looking at Jesus' example, there's methods, there's lessons to learn, but it's really a heart issue. I need God's help to love. And people can sense that. When people have talked to me, tried to sell me stuff, tried to come to my door, things, I can sense, are they really out for my benefit? Do they really love me? Or are they trying to accomplish something else by what they're doing? That comes across, and that really affects my response and how I respond. And I've come across it same way with a lot of other people because I have such a hard time loving. I need God's help. But that's really the bottom line. Is loving people. And another principle here is that Jesus' primary goal was to help people know Him and put their hope in Him, not to help people stop sinning or to do the right thing. That's good to stop sinning, that's good to do the right things, but I'm convinced that Jesus and God knows that when people know Jesus, living a righteous life is a byproduct of that. That will help them. That will happen the more they know Him. And so Jesus was out to introduce Himself to that woman. You see that all through the conversation. If you knew who was really talking to you, you'd ask me. He didn't say, if you knew who you're talking to, you'd straighten out your life right now. No, that was not it. And it built up all the way to the end. Do you know that I'm the Messiah who's talking to you? And that was the big, he knew that when she could understand who he was, those other things will be taken care of some way, somehow, as she grows in relationship with him there. Yeah, there's all kind of examples, but we could go into that, but I think we'll keep going here. Okay, another few more quick principles before we wrap up. Life-changing opportunities can come at unexpected times because God is the one who brings them. We can't predict, right? Maybe sometimes, but often we can't predict when life-changing opportunities are going to come up to have a conversation. And then we can never, another principle, we can never overestimate how God might use small opportunities or small conversations. Hundreds of lives might be helped or even rescued from eternal darkness, like right here in this chapter. The whole town or many people in the town said, now we believe because of your word. And how did that happen? Because of a little conversation that Jesus opened up with that woman. And then last principle here is that helping people know our Lord, Father, and Savior can be very fulfilling. Yes, there can be pain and challenges, disappointments along the way, but very fulfilling. Like Jesus said, I am having such a good time. I am being so fulfilled, I'm not even hungry. This outdoes anything that you could bring me from McDonald's or whatever restaurant they had brought food from. And I can identify with that at least a little bit. I remember years back when I was in a bus station and God gave me opportunity to talk to this guy who'd been visiting the U.S. And at that time I was using a little booklet and asked him if he'd be interested in listening to this little booklet that talks about how to have a relationship with God. And most people I asked that to didn't agree, but he did agree. And he went through it and he says, you know, this is so amazing. A year ago I came to this country and I wanted to find someone who would help me to have a relationship with God, because no one in my country ever told me that. And I've been in the U.S. a whole year and no one has ever told me how I can have life with God until you did right now. And he prayed right there to ask Christ in his life. When I left that conversation, I was just, wow, God, you can use me to help a person become your child? This is so amazing. I felt like cloud nine. It was just so fulfilling. That's a huge factor. I remember telling God, if you can use me, I want to do this as much as possible in my life to help people know you. It's so fulfilling. But there's been plenty of trials along the way, too. So, conclusion, this is an amazing privilege that we have to have conversations with people. No matter what it is, just talk about the weather. You're saying a word, it opens up the door, and when we're walking with God's Spirit, unlimited potential. When we know who God is, our relationship with Him, and how God thinks about those other people. Let's pray. Wow, Father, thanks again that we can live life with You all the time. You are so amazing in every dimension. And it's amazing You can use weak people like us to be involved with Your work, Your eternal work of showing love to people, of rescuing people from darkness into light and communicating Your life-changing love. Thank You for that, and help us remember, help each one of us apply whatever would be most helpful to the stage that we're at, the journey that we're at with You in communicating Your love to people, especially through conversations. We ask for Your help. In Your name, Jesus. Amen.